Welcome to the podcast series Talking Success, connecting the global fintech community. I'm Stacey Jafta, and today I'll be chatting with Karen Nadison, CEO of PayU South Africa. PayU allows online businesses to accept and process payments through payment methods that can be integrated with web and mobile applications. Karen, how are you doing?
I'm good, Stacey. How are you?
Good, good, good. I finally got to meet you on Friday at the Finasa launch. It was such a lovely event. How has your night? How's your night? How's your week been?
Yes, my week's been great. It was lovely to see you as well. I had a fantastic time at the event. It was just so amazing to see so many fintechs in one room.
Have you been to an event like that since COVID?
No, not on that scale.
Yeah, it was awesome having everyone in one room, just seeing people that were like, wow, this is not a Zoom call. I've seen your face for the last 2 years, seeing some clients, meeting them in person. It was such an amazing experience. Your name has come up quite a few times, even at the event. You're somebody that I've always wanted to get to know. I think that you have such an amazing story, and I'm eager to hear more about you. So do you mind just setting the scene and telling the audience just more about your career journey and then essentially what led you to become CEO of PayU South Africa?
Okay, cool. So I've been in tech for most of my life. My dad got me a computer when I was quite young, and I was able to study computer science at school. And then I did a degree in computer science and information technology at Rhodes University. I got hired straight out of uni as a Java developer, and I worked at two startups in Cape Town in various tech roles. So that's basically how I landed up in Cape Town, and I never wanted to leave because it's so beautiful here. From there, I did a second degree. I did a BCom honors degree at UCT. And then got a job at ShopRite. I worked as, I think it was business and systems analyst on a project migrating from their AS400 system to Microsoft .NET framework using BizTalk and MSMQ for the queue orchestration. And that was in the early 2000s. So that was basically my, just my background in South Africa. It wasn't really a very long time. And at this point, I think this helped me land a job in the UK. So I moved to the UK for, I think it was around 9 years. I worked with Microsoft directly as a business and systems analyst on some global projects. And then from there, one of my colleagues was moving to Microsoft and he asked if I would come along with, which I did, to BP. And there I ended up in this cool mansion house on Wychuchon Hill with some rather nerdy chemists at BP working at Industrial Lubricants and Services.
What a change up.
I know. So, I mean, it was always in tech, but I mean, I've been, lots of different companies, lots of industries.
Yeah.
Even at BP. So after BP, I took a break in between, and I did some consulting in the payment sector. And then I moved into BP Global Communications within IT and services on strategic projects. And after a couple years there, I found myself back at Cape Town at this little startup called PayU.
What intrigued you of PayU at the time?
Nothing much.
Great.
I wanted to come back to South Africa, specifically to Cape Town, I would say. And so this was really something to tide me over. I'd been offered an opportunity, a BP opportunity in Johannesburg. That's where all the strategic roles were. And I turned that down because, my intention was really to live in Cape Town. And I think, it was really, really difficult for me culturally, having lived so many years away, but also having worked in St. James Square and Canary Wharf with the best of the best in a very, very fast-paced environment for the last few years.
And you chose Cape Town out of all the cities in South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, it's like super fast to extremely slow. And it was challenging, really, really challenging, And I think I started to get quite frustrated, but I also, I took on a lot of work. I had a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I was single. I just wanted to cycle, hike, make the most of this beautiful place.
Yeah.
And I worked. And that was really my life. And I had a lot of experience from these roles that, you know, I'd had in the UK. So there was quite a bit that I could offer to the startup, really. So mm-hmm. I started to put in processes, portfolio management. And at some point, Payeer was starting to become, Naspers was reining in these fintech investments they'd made and pulling into one global company. So, you know, at that point, I started to take on bigger roles. So I became the product head for Middle East and Africa. I led a portfolio management team globally. And so I was able to put in a lot more structure, processes, business case ideation to product delivery, for instance.
Mm.
And at some point, I think the global team or the Naspers leadership team started to review the business globally. And at that point, I think I'd worked at Payeer for about maybe 3 years, 2 to 3 years. And I mm-hmm. was on this mission to change our technology infrastructure, our architecture, essentially. And I really wanted us to move to CICD, so continuous integration and delivery deployment, because I was just getting so frustrated with having to wait for a month for deployments and rollbacks and that sort of thing. So I was on this I was evangelizing this move because my previous experience, it seemed as if I'd left South Africa and come back and not much had changed in terms of this.
Wow. And in South Africa?
Yes, because, I mean, in the UK.
I felt that
we
as
just,
well, yeah.
Yeah. We just didn't, you know, we this was a thing of the past, you know. So this monolithic architecture was a thing of the past. Of course, PayU had very good reason for building things the way that they did. However, this of course has changed over time. But at that particular time, I was, you know, going around presenting my ideas to the CTO, and the global leadership team happened to be there. And I was quite pregnant at the time. I must have been like 8, 9 months
pregnant. So very, about a pop.
Exactly. And so I went on maternity leave, you know, after this. And at that point, the business reviews were being done. And there were a few roles that had now opened, particularly for a business development and strategy head for the rest of Africa to expedite our growth in Africa, and a CEO role for South Africa. And I think there was one more role on a consumer head for our consumer side of the business. So this was all, you know, when I was on maternity leave, and there were lots of whispers and I would imagine strategies being employed, but I really was excluded from that, which was, I think, saving grace. I didn't really get involved in the politics. And I didn't really think about the roles. You know, I was really considering my life at the time, what this meant to be a mom. And I wasn't sure what my next career move would be. And I really, really didn't think, you know, of this role. And I think there were 10 internal applications. Whilst I was on maternity leave, someone from the leadership team, I think it was the CEO at the time, the CEO mm-hmm. for one of the areas, I think it was EMEA. And he'd invited me to a dinner. He'd come down to do a business review. And we literally had like a 15-minute chat. I think he had to leave to the airport, and in this chat, he then planted the seed of these are the roles available, and you know, can you start to think about it? But we already are quite far down the line with this, with the Africa business development, and then that's really it. So I went from not thinking about it at all, and then going okay. Is this something that I can do? He gave me a few weeks to think about it, and that's it. That's how it happened.
And what was your experience going in? I know that we were initially chatting about how you took over PayU at a time it was constantly losing market share. It's a completely different business today, probably one of the largest and most successful PSPs. How can you talk to us about this journey and essentially what you did to change to make it to be this business it is?
Yeah, so you know,
it's a large one. It's a large one.
Yeah, it really is, because I didn't take a company that was incredibly successful, as you say, it was losing market share every year.
And was that exciting to you?
It was. I won't say exciting. I think I had to think about this quite a bit before I made the decision. And it could be make or break, right? I was very young. This was my first CEO position. I was really young. I think it was like early 30s. So I had to really think about, can I turn this business around? You know, do I really have what it takes? And that's a really difficult question for somebody who hasn't done this before.
Yes. So then what made you feel like you could do it? Believing in yourself.
No.
That sounds really cliche, but absolutely not.
I would say, I did give it a lot of thought. So I had a lot of experience. So one of my roles at BP was to manage something called the Bill of IT for my division, which is a strategic roadmap, and it assesses the IT function spend. And that is across the board: products, projects, infrastructure, people, including outsourced organizations. And it aligns this to the core strategy to optimize the spend over time. So I had a lot of business knowledge in addition to my product and technology background. I also knew the people really, really well at PayU.
Yeah,
And, you know, as I said, I'd become a subject matter expert. I knew the competition. I knew the industry. So I really had these things in my back pocket. So I wasn't really, even though I thought, okay, I haven't done this before, I haven't transformed a company, actually I had been involved in various change management processes and large strategic projects with massive budgets, you know, far bigger than any project I've worked in South Africa. So I really did have that. And I sat and I thought about the things that I would change and the things that I had already been trying to change over the last few years. But here, I would have a bit more autonomy, more leverage to change it, more power to change it. And I think that's probably what really interested in me. You know, I could actually go and make the changes if I had the right support, which I did have at the time from the senior leadership team. So I did feel that this is something that I could do. I was given some ridiculous goals. And I think that these were ridiculous, but it still helped myself and my team to focus on a very clear execution plan over the next 2 to 3 years. And I think that this is also something that really, really helped us.
Was there a particular strategy that you employed?
I would say we used lots of strategy tools, you know.
Okay.
And included everybody. The whole organization had to be included in this. So it was the buy-in of the management team and then of all their teams, you know, the wider teams. But we used a number of strategy tools. We had strategy sessions and the general staff, SWOT, PESL, the general tools, which are really, really useful. Later on, I'd used lots of other tools like integrative thinking, for instance, with my team. And we still will continue to use strategy tools. But I think for me, it's like what I learned is strategy is not just, you know, you're following Blue Ocean, for instance. It's you can use these tools. However, the way you execute is really based on the sum total of your lived experiences, you know. And that's really, I think, what allowed me to lead this, because I had this background, I had this experience, I had this knowledge, I knew the team, and all of those things together are what allowed me to take PayU through this whole transition. I also had a really, really great coach, and I think that this was incredibly important, because you need to voice your thoughts in a safe environment, which is incredibly challenging to do in this position. And I met
frequently. Where did you find your coach?
NASPERS actually has, they provided it. There is a coaching program that they have with some excellent, excellent coaches. And so, Peter, my coach, was absolutely amazing. He was there every 2 weeks and we had a long conversation. And I actually found, he wasn't giving me any advice, anything new. He literally was just going, "You've got this. You know how to do this. You know, what's going through your mind? What are the, if you do it, you know, what are the options? So it was literally just somebody to, it's just that my voice, just kind of hearing it back and going, okay, okay, this is what we can do. This is what we should do. This is what, you know, and that helped me tremendously. I cannot even tell you. The other thing that was incredibly important, you know, it's great to have a strategy and to go and execute. You need a really, really good plan, and you need to get support from your global leadership team if there is. And for me, I think that that plan really helped to solidify their support, because it was, okay, I'm going to meet your goals. These are the things that I want to do. I need your support in doing this. Okay, go out, and you have autonomy in doing it.
There are a couple of our clients that are going through a lot of changes, very similar to what you entered PayU as, whether that's one due to a scandal that they're losing market share, or they lost their CEO, or one of their founders are moving on. What advice would you give to somebody in a similar situation that you found yourself in?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things I think that really stand out. I would say, so, you know, I don't think that there's anything that is less fulfilling than coming to work at a place that has no vision and you're working in this little silo, especially for me in technology. It's such an exciting space to be in. And I like people to be involved, and, you know, I include them. So I think that's something that is really important. I included every single person. There was no one that was left behind in this journey. You know, everybody knew what we were going to do, how we were going to do it. They were all included in the strategy. We had like this massive strategy session with every single person. So I think that buy-in is really important. You know, you need to work towards a bigger purpose. So find out what drives people, and also hire people that are passionate and believe in what you want to achieve. As I said, a strong supportive team that has your back, and vice versa, you need to do the same. I don't think it's a really good culture in throwing anybody under the bus. So,
yeah.
And things go wrong in tech, you know, databases get deleted, things fall over. And the way you approach these situations, are really, really important, you know? So yeah, strong supportive team. Don't be afraid to take risks. But I think when you take these risks, you need to really do your homework. So do your homework, make sure that you're prepared to take these risks. And also, you have to be prepared to get your hands dirty, especially in a transformation. You've got to be agile. You have to be extremely hands-on. And I think you've got to find your rhythm with the team. Presence is incredibly important. So we had... once we had devised a plan, and I mean, everyone was involved in this plan, right? We devised our plan. The team had their own stand-ups. And we had, on a Monday morning, we had a company-wide stand-up where we would all align and we would go. And it was 100 people, so not so easy to do.
Wow.
But we did it because we had to all be on the same page. So it was like this, almost like to fine-tuning, you know, right down to the T. These are the things that are important for us. These are the impediments. How do we get through this? We were just making sure that we were all on the same page every single day, every single week for about, I think, 2 years. You know, until we started to see the light, we were like, right, okay, now we're in a better place and we can change a few things, you know, and these are the other areas we can optimize and so forth. But that was it. It was like this finely tuned machine.
How did you find the balance between taking risks, staying innovative, agile, while implementing the right process?
So, the one thing that I learned specifically, I mean, this is something that PayU taught me actually. And in my role as the head of product, there's no shortage of ideas. I think that the biggest problem that we had at PayU was that there were too many ideas and too many projects that were half done, because there was something else that was more important that popped up. So it's like you can have the best ideas, want to, you know, there was always the story of the team wanting to work on innovation. You know, no matter how many innovative product ideas came up, it was like, okay, we need to work on innovation. And I think it's like the one thing that I wanted at PayUs was to change that culture. I think it's the most demotivating thing to have to work on things
that to change never, the innovation.
Well, work on things that never land. That's what it is. So it doesn't matter if you could be taking a risk, you could be working on innovation, whatever you call it. It needs to land, you know. So for me, it's like you must take the risk. It must be calculated. It can be innovative, but you need to have done the homework and stay focused, stay on that path and get it delivered. Don't take on too much. Don't try to do everything. Don't let hype and excitement of a new idea prevent you from doing your homework. You know, business cases are important. So stay the course. So for me, I think it's like if you want to take on risks and you want to be innovative, you need to stay focused and structured. So, and you can be as agile as possible and still be structured. So I just want to put that out there, because some people think, you know, saying structured means not being agile, but that's exactly what it is.
Did you ever feel like there was too many voices? You mentioned over 100 people on calls, everyone obviously having different ideas, different opinions on the direction to go in. Like, how do you stay focused?
No, I definitely don't think so. So, you know, I conducted with my team a full review and analysis of the business, of every single area of the business. And I think for me, it was, I'm a numbers person, so it was really starting with the numbers. So let's look at, you know, how much money we're making, where is it coming from, which products, you know, what are people costing us, what is operations costing us, and then looking at where we could drive certain efficiencies. We were part of a global company. We decided to optimize some of the functions by centralizing them, and all of these things that we did, it was decided with the team, because it was make or break. It was okay, we can do nothing, continue at this pace, and we can just close, you know, forget about PayU. Or we can do a full analysis of the business and we can turn things around. And so it was finance, some of the operational aspects, and the biggest part of this was a product and technology strategy, right? So what was going to completely change the game for us? And so we really focused on product innovation. So we took, to answer your previous question, we took massive risks, because we had to turn things around. But we also, and these were not only product, it was technology, platform related. It cost a lot of money. So we were going to be expending money as well, you know. So I think that's why we tried to ensure that we had a very clear plan and very clear targets, and we were able to execute it. Because any penny we spent, we wanted to make sure that we were going to turn into some type of revenue and get us out of this losing market share every single year.
Was it tough getting everyone's buy-in?
Initially, it was really tough.
Can you give some advice around that?
Let's see. I think...
You can take your time.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us it was... we knew that the company had to transition. So everybody knew this, right? The whole point of me being appointed was so that we could drive change, significant change. And so if I'm going to give pointers, I would say you have to be extremely transparent. So when I looked at everything, I took that information and I had a town hall and I presented it back to the team. And the picture wasn't a pretty one, but that is exactly what it needed to be, so that everybody would have a bit of a wake-up call to go, this is not a sustainable business. You cannot stay in startup mode forever. We need to transition into a proper business, you know? And from that point, it was like, okay, this is the starting point for us now. We need to get to here. And you guys, we all need to work together to lay out the plan of every single thing that needs to be done to get to this point. So it was everyone in. So there were a few people that would, you know, I think for me, just getting into this position was already very challenging, as you can imagine. I was very young. I just had a baby, female, of color, all those things, whatever it is, you name it. And so there was quite a few people that had applied for the role that didn't get it, that also were not very happy. And I think this is also where you need other people, global leadership, that completely believe in you and are there to say, this is it. They're behind you.
Did you ever have imposter syndrome?
You know, I really was so focused on the task, because I think to a degree I was just, it was a very risky thing to do. So I was also a bit scared, and that just got me to just overdrive in this mode of, I worked like crazy. I don't think I mean, I was up at every hour. Well, I had a baby, but I was also working.
Yeah, so you literally were up at every hour.
I literally was up. And the funny thing is, I think that helped. You know, I'd wake up like every 2-3 hours for my son. And when I woke up, I also would work, you know, in that time. So I was up, and I don't think I averaged more than 4 hours sleep in the first year.
How did you function? How?
I think as a woman, you have special abilities, and I'm not joking, because I do not remember being tired. Because how do you wake up every 2 to 3 hours to nurse your child? You just do, you know, and you can go on. And I just did. And I think it was like for the first year, not much sleep, but the second year, things started to change. So it got a little bit better. And, you know, from there, we saw the light, and it started getting a lot better, you know, quite quickly. But we were really agile. We were very, very aware of, I wouldn't say competition, but I think everything that was happening in the market. And we were able to adapt quite quickly. Once we had made the significant changes that we needed to make, the foundation was laid for us to really, really start to scale and work on far more interesting things. So the groundwork had been done.
So impressive. There are so many challenges being a young woman in fintech, in leadership. You did this while having a baby, waking up every couple hours. Mind blown. What advice do you have for somebody molding their leadership style? They're young. We see this happening often in fintech, really, really young women and men in top leadership positions, building this business, getting given large sums of funding. Is there anything that either you do differently or just advice around molding your leadership style at a young age?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy being a woman in technology, but I actually don't, it's not easy leading any company. And I think for me, it's like the one thing that really hit me when I got the position is that I'm now responsible for salaries of 100 people, 100 families depend on me.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know if that's just the thinking of a woman, but it was like, you know, it's like you've got to make this successful, and this has to be a success. And if you, even things like, you know, restructuring and whatever, the way I handled it was making sure we addressed that it wasn't the people who would fail. It was really the business, the business leaders, you know, and trying to do right by them however we could, including celebrating like every person. So, you know, I said to you, we had these Monday stand-ups. We would also use that as a coffee catch up and do a celebration for the people that were leaving and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think things were thought through quite carefully to develop a new culture. So, yeah, I mean, it is challenging. And I think that for me, I was really, really, as I say, I was quite focused on the task. And I believe that there's two things, right? And we've spoken about this. You're a combination of two elements. The one is really the skills that you have, this technical and soft skills that are sum total of all your experiences, right? And you need to be very aware of what those are. Very aware, because, you know, I also said to you that I wasn't even interested in this role, but I had the skills. And I think that many women actually face this challenge. You know, we just don't apply for roles. We just don't think we can do it, but we have the ability. The other part is that you also have to be aware, do your homework, and be aware of the skills that you need help with, both the soft skills and other, and go and get help for those. I said I had a coach. But I also had a few things that my coach was not able to give me that people in my team were able to.
Yeah.
So you need to recognize skills in other people, you know, that are part of your team that will fill like the deficit. You are working in a team. You're never, ever working alone.
Yeah.
So I think any advice for anyone, and specifically women, is really it's that self-belief, believe in yourself, understand the skills that you have and what you have to contribute, and you will find that they're generally significant. And know yourself well enough to know the areas that you need development in, and get help and find help for those.
Thank you. I'm inspired. Thank you so much for being on this episode. I personally learned so much. I know our listeners have as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey.
Where's the best place for listeners to reach you?
I definitely think LinkedIn.
Cool. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Cool. Thank you so much, Stacey. It was great talking to you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Talking Success, Connecting the Global FinTech Community. Feel free to follow us on LinkedIn at Talent in the Cloud. And if you're interested in exec talent, expanding your team, or you yourself are looking for a new, exciting change in your career, check out our website, talentinthecloud.io.